Welcome this morning, Chris, and we're looking forward to your talk.
It's almost been a year now since I was here last time. I came last summer and was able to speak and sharing. And yeah, my name is Chris. I work for Power to Change. And actually, I work for a smaller part of Power to Change. There's 10 different ministries in Power to Change. And I work for Connecting Streams. And Connecting Streams, we want to see the church and vulnerable people transformed together by Jesus. So we go and we serve whom the Bible describes as the least of these. And yeah, it's been a pleasure. I've been a part of that for about 2 years. I'm also a church planter with the Alliance, and we're just on the south side of Edmonton. So it was a nice little drive down the road to come here this morning. The reason I joined Connecting Streams and Power to Change is I love seeing people come to faith in Jesus. But if you're like me, I'm also a little bit nervous around sharing my faith. I love sharing my faith, but I don't always know when do you speak, when do you, you know, jump in, when do you listen. It can be challenging. And I would go a little bit further to say that Christianity isn't the popular kid on the block anymore in our area. There's lots of different thoughts in our culture around what we believe. But here's what this never changes. We have the greatest news the world has ever heard. Jesus is God. He is good. He loves us. He pursues us. And through his perfect life, his death, and resurrection, we can receive the gift of salvation. It's the greatest news. And so Connecting Streams, what we do is we partner alongside churches and their leadership teams, and we help walk people into places where they can be the hands and feet and voice of Jesus and practice sharing their faith, but in real places, in real time, with real people. And we do it with teams, and we don't send anyone alone. We want to learn and grow in this ability to do it together. But sharing the gospel can be difficult. But here's one challenge I just want to kind of throw out this morning. Can we just say yes? That's the best way to start, yeah. Just yes to Jesus. Can you give me a simple, clear, just opportunity where I can share my faith in some way? And then let him lead, let him open the doors. A number of years ago, a friend of mine named Wes was driving on Vancouver Island, and quickly you'll know this as an old story, but he was driving on Vancouver Island and he thought he heard God nudge him. He heard this. He heard, Wes, go buy a Coke. And Coca-Cola was his favorite drink. So he's like, what a great God we serve. But God wanted to buy it from 7-Eleven. And the 7-Eleven was an hour drive away from where he was. But he was a single guy. He didn't have any plans. So he's like, you know what? I'll just be obedient. I'll go. So he drives an hour out of the way, goes to 7-Eleven, and then walks in. Buys a can of Coke. It costs 75 cents, all taxes included at the time. And as he's walking out, if you're keeping up with the math, he has 25 cents change from his loonie. And he sees a kid standing and staring at a payphone. Now, for those of you who don't know what a payphone is, no, I'm just kidding. I think we all know what payphones are. Old story. So I don't know what got into Wes's mind in this moment, but as he sees this teenager standing and staring at the payphone, he just flicks the quarter across to him, and as it's going through the air, he yells at this kid. He says, and some people say there's no God. And the kid catches the quarter, and he's like, do you know my dad? He was the pastor's kid from that town, and he had run away from home. And he was looking at the phone, and he's like, do I make the call and get my dad to come pick me up? And here's my thought when I hear this story. Don't you want that to be your story at the next campfire you sit around or at the next dinner party? We love stories like this. It's amazing. God has this way of taking what our world calls coincidence and showing it as his providence, as his work, his power and sovereignty over everything. He speaks to us through his word, through prayer, through prompts, through creation, through nudges, feelings. And here's the great news. We want to have those amazing God stories to share, but God wants them even more. And he's the one who can do anything. Nothing is impossible for God. We're going to look at an incredible story in Acts chapter 8. So if you want to flip there in your Bible, I'm trying to flip there, but my bookmark is stuck. I guess I'll have to remember how to turn to my Bible now. Give a chance. Acts chapter 8, and starting in verse 26 is where I'm going to read from. I call this sermon Empowered because this is what we are. We are the empowered people of God, the church. The Holy Spirit is with us, and he wants to send us out to do awesome things. And here's a story from the early church, Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless somebody explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him, and the eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. They traveled along the road, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" They gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all of the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our ears to hear your word, our minds to be transformed by your truth, our hearts to resonate with your grace. May anything that distracts us from you be dismissible, and may the seeds of the gospel find good soil, and may our strength be positioned towards Jesus. We long to know you and participate in your salvation. Amen. 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 So 9 years ago, we started on this journey of church planting, my wife and I and our family, and through that, we've only seen a handful of people come to faith. We understand how difficult and how grinding it can be to live as believers in this place we live. Again, we're just up the road from you. And to be transparent, and maybe a little bit too honest, but challenging along with sharing our faith is this internal wrestle that sometimes we just rather not. Like, we'd rather just be comfortable. We'd rather have the conveniences of the world around us and live like everyone else and not have this kind of, feeling or pressure that we sometimes put on ourselves. But as Christians, we're part of an empowered community. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in our church is that we have Spirit-sending stories. Stories like we just read about Philip or we heard about Wes. People who started to just go when the Spirit prompted them. I mean, when you look at the story of Philip here, and I'm going to kind of refer back to it a bunch of times as I speak this morning. He began as a coordinator of a food bank for widows. And then all of a sudden, he finds himself going out as an evangelist and sharing the gospel and even baptizing people. Now, maybe our story won't be as dramatic as the one we just read, but it always begins with the same nudge of the Holy Spirit. Go. Verse 26 says, go. Go south to the road. Go to the coffee shop down the street. Go over to your neighbor's house. Go to your colleague's workstation. Go to whatever God sets before you. Why? Because God loves making a good story, and by obedience, we get to be a part of the story. If you look at verse 27, he started out, and it actually says this. It says this line, so he started out. And I feel like when we join God in his stories, it's like Lord of the Rings. You start on this adventure, so he started out. He had no idea what God was going to do. Why would God move him from a place that was had a really good ministry going on? Why would he send him out to the middle of the desert in the hottest part of the day in what would have been northern Sudan today? A place where usually no one would be. And God says, go south, go to this place. So Philip simply starts out, and we see this characteristic of empowered communities have spirit-sending stories. People respond to God as he directs their lives. Now, as I was reading this story, and I know I read it through fast, but if you look at verse 26, you might say, Chris, if an angel came to me and said, go, that would be obvious. Then I would know this is right. I heard this one properly because an angel came and said. But if we look at our text, in verse 26, it says, an angel of the Lord said. And then in verse 29, it says, the Spirit told Philip. And scholars believe that these two statements are interchangeable. And so it's actually not saying exactly how God communicated to him. Did he literally or audibly hear or see an angel? We don't know. Was it just a picture or a vision in his mind? Was it a verse that he read that prompted him to go? Was it a nudge? Was it a gut feeling? Was it a whisper? We're not sure. But what we do know is this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells his followers that they would share the gospel to the very ends of the earth. And so Philip can trust this prompting, this call to go, because it lines up with Jesus' teaching. And it's one reason that it's so important that we understand the Bible, so that when God speaks, we recognize his voice. We know it's him speaking. I dare say it, but there's many crazy things that have been done in, you know, the name of God or the, you know, for God. But it's a real easy discernment thing. If you get a prompting to go, and it's not something Jesus would do, and it's not something Jesus said, then in plain English, it ain't from God. But on the other side, sometimes God speaks and we lack courage. We're not sure. But if it lines up with his word, it lines up with who he is, then it's something we get invited into. God's word will always line up with his character. And everything he asks us to do will line up with his word and his character. Another important reason to know the Bible is empowered people share scripture. So Philip sets off into the desert, and he gets the second piece of guidance. He goes there, and then when he gets there, he sees a guy in a chariot, and he says, go over by the chariot. Now, this is the hottest part of the day, and the horse pulling the chariot is probably just crawling along in the heat. This isn't a scene from Ben-Hur. So Philip runs up beside this slow-moving chariot. It's like a wagon ride. And he hears the guy reading the Bible. Coincidence? I think not. God is amazing, right? Go out of this place. What am I going to hear? I hear a guy reading the scriptures. Oh, this is low-hanging fruit. This is obvious. And the man's reading from Isaiah 53 about the Messiah who will suffer unjustly and be killed for the sins of other people. That's not a bad segue if you're looking for a way to share the gospel. And I imagine, though, and I'm making this connection, that as he heard the scroll of Isaiah being read and thinking about how to connect it to the life of Jesus, it probably helped Philip that he understood and knew that text already. A few years ago, one of my friends called me up, and it was totally out of the blue, and I wasn't ready for it. And he says, Chris, and at the time he wasn't a believer, he says, Chris, I'm going to read the Bible cover to cover. And here's my faith. I'm just like, there's no way. Like, you're not going to make it. I've done it. It's so hard. But out loud, I was a little bit more cautious, I guess, and I said, you know what? Like, it's going to be really hard to read the Bible cover to cover, so why don't you start in the Gospels? Why don't you start Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? And that was my thoughts. And he right away, he just snaps back and say, nope, if this Bible's worth reading, it's worth reading cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, that's the way it is. Oh. So I'm sitting then, I'm doing this, I'm like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I don't want him to be discouraged. And then the Spirit gives me the most obvious answer I would have never thought of on my own. Read it with him. So easy, right? So I said, hey, there's this great app. It's called YouVersion Bible app. You download it on your phone. You live in a different town than I do, but we can read the same Bible plan at the same time, and we can read the Bible cover to cover. If you hit any snags or you run into any difficulties, send me a text and we can talk about it. And we did that. And he was transformed by Christ in that year, and he came to faith. And at the end of it, he said, all I can tell you is I read the Bible, and this book changed my life. I believe that God has made reading the Bible difficult on purpose because he wants us to read it together. One of my mentors, Cesar Kalinowski, says, the gospel moves at the speed of relationship and along the pathways of trust. If God is all about having loving relationship with him and loving relationship with one another, doesn't it make sense that the key thing he's given us to learn to walk and follow him, he'd want us to use together, to read together, to be in together, to wrestle with together. And the center of the story is that Jesus came, and he came to restore all of our relationships, people to God, people to creation, and people to people. Everybody has an on-ramp into this story, but it's God's story, and he invites us in. I love verse 31 of the text. The Ethiopian eunuch, he says, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? It's such a beautiful verse. And yet, the difference today from then is he was reading the scroll of Isaiah, and now all we have to do is pull out our phones and scroll down to Isaiah. We get the same opportunities. Also, though, with reading the Bible, I find it's really helpful to know the full story of the scriptures in kind of a simple way. And so what I've done, and I'll do this really fast, and if someday you're like, hey, I'd love to learn this more, then tell your elders to call me back and do a teaching, and we'll do it. But I love breaking down the gospel into four different acts: creation, fall, restoration, and new creation. And I even make it simpler than that. For me, it's easier to remember if I just think God, sin, Jesus, faith. And it's knowing the whole story of the scriptures in a really simple way. God created the world. He made people in his image, and he loves them, and he wants to share his love. He made them to take care of the planet. But the first couple that represents all of us, they turned and they rejected God. They wanted to try life without him. And sin entered the world, and brokenness came between us and creation, us and each other, and us and God. And the worst of it is, we see this brokenness around us, but the worst of it is death. But God saw us, and he didn't leave us that way. He pursued us. He came after us. He became a person, Jesus. And by faith, through his perfect life lived for us, his death died in our place, and his resurrection, we can be recipients of salvation. We can know him, and we can start to live by faith today. And it's by faith that the salvation becomes our reality. Eternity starts today, and we get to live with purpose, helping to restore the world the way he originally created it. We can walk through the whole story of the gospel in four simple parts. It's good news, and we get to share it. And when we share scripture, sometimes it'll be in story, sometimes it'll be paraphrased, sometimes we memorized it. But here's the thing. You don't have to have it in King James English. We don't need the thous and the thusts. You can just use plain language. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. What we do need to know is we need to know Jesus to share the gospel. We just need to know who Jesus is. We need to trust him. And as we share the story of the gospel, a real simple thing, just remember he's the hero of every story. He's the hero of my story. He's the hero of your story. He's the hero of the gospel story. And so one of our Connecting Streams ministries that we serve in is for addiction recovery. And my wife is a volunteer in this ministry. She's been there almost a year. But the first time she went in, we have a process. And so she signed up as a volunteer, and we interviewed her. And then we got her criminal record check and all those things done that needed to serve in this particular location. And she went to this place to do a devotional time for recovering addicts. And she had no idea what to expect. And she walks in to the room, and there's a lady, and she's sitting in there. She's got her Bible open on her lap already. And as my wife walks into the room, she says, "I know this book will change my life, but can you help me understand it?" Acts chapter 8 happening today. It's amazing. I went into a prison for the first time just a little while ago, a few months ago. And as we went in, we were going in and we were with the prison chaplain, and there was a couple of us were going in there. And we went in to do a chapel time, and we walked through, and it's a little intimidating as the doors close behind you. They slam louder than your teenagers do when they go through their rooms. You know how loud that is if you have teens. And anyways, you come into this unit, and so the door slams, and there you are, and you're in a room with 200 prisoners just walking around. It's like a big cafeteria. And the guards, I'm not sure if they were teasing us or teasing the prisoners or if they were trying to take down walls to make it more accessible, but the guy goes on the intercom, and he's like, "Hey, if anyone here needs Jesus, follow these guys to that room over there." 15 guys left what they were doing and came and joined us to sing worship songs and to read the scriptures together. Where people are hungry, Jesus shows up and does amazing things. We get to go to the places, just like Philip, where people are looking for Jesus. Another story comes from our neighborhood. One of our neighbors called us up one night, and she's like, she's kind of new in her faith, and she's like, "I have a question about God, but I need to come over and ask it in person." And so we set up the next night. She came for coffee. And she asked this question: "Do I really have to love God above everything else?" And we said to her, "Well, there's an easy answer to that, but explain to us what you mean." And so she went on and she said, "Because if I'm being honest, I think I love my family more than I love God." And I thought, what an honest statement. What a great awareness. I mean, we could have just went to her and said the easy answer is yes, you have to love God above all else. The greatest commandment, Matthew 22:37, is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We could have went to Exodus 20, to the Ten Commandments, and said the first commandment is to have no other idols but to put God first. But quoting scripture doesn't necessarily mean we're sharing the gospel. So what is the gospel in that situation? Well, we could see this weight of loving God first and foremost, just pressing her down. And her face kind of had this expression of, no matter how hard I try, I don't think I can ever do it. And Jesus tells us, when we feel weighed down, when we feel heavy burdened, come to him and we'll find rest. We'll find his yoke is light. And so the gospel, we told her, was yes, we are called to love God above all else. But you're right, you can't do it. Most of us don't admit it like you just did. We love our families more than God. We put more time, energy, and money into our families than we ever do investing into God and his kingdom. We're just not honest enough to admit it. But here's the good news. Here's the gospel news. Jesus loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength for you. He lived the perfect life for you. And you get to exchange your "I can't do it" for his "it is done." It is finished. And it gets better. Now you get invited into living in the love of God in a way you've never experienced before. And the unending, immeasurable love of God is now available to you to love your family with. That's good news. It's not, you can't do it and now you're in trouble. It's, Jesus did it for you and now you get to experience the wholeness of it. We get to receive his grace. We get to live in grace. And when given the opportunity to share the gospel, the good news, when it's received, the next thing we can do is we can suggest next steps. The gospel always calls for a response. When people respond to the gospel, there's always a next step. If we look at Acts 8:36-38, We see it here in our text. It says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. We know that Philip connected this man to Jesus through Isaiah 53. And we don't know how it kind of moved along to the idea of this guy knew he needed to be baptized. It doesn't tell us that. But it was the next step for him in that moment. And it's an amazing thing. If we get into the context of this, this man, it said, was returning from the temple. And I won't get into the full dynamics of what a eunuch is, but you can ask Pastor Shannon when he's back from his sabbatical. But because of that situation, he wasn't allowed to actually enter the temple. But now he's found the Jesus community where everybody's invited and everybody's welcome and everyone can come and be a part of it. And baptism is that way to say you're now part of the family. You're in. Beautiful story. Inviting people to take next steps in their faith is important for their growth. The Apostle Peter did the same thing in Acts 2:38. He finished giving this huge sermon on what happened, and then the people respond, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the people encountered Jesus, they needed a next step. What do I do with this? And Jesus always had next steps for people too. He'd say, go tell somebody. Or he'd say, don't tell anybody. Or he'd say, have something to eat. Or serve others. Or stop the sinful pattern. Or take courage. Or have faith. Repent. Believe in me. Come, follow. Jesus always had a next step for people who responded to him. In Connecting Streams, we have this ministry called Conversation Cafe, and it's a place for new Canadians to come and practice their English in a safe place. And in that time, we invite them, if they want to take the same topic that they learn practice Englishing around, we have a Bible study on that same topic, and we call it a discovery group, and we invite them in. And we had one guy that had come to faith in one of these discovery groups, and he was, again, a new believer. And the one discovery group he went to was about creation. And when it was done, the next step to respond that the leader gave was, we want you to do something beautiful for God this week. He didn't prescribe what it was. He just said, here's your response to the gospel. How can you do something beautiful for God this week? And so this guy left, and he wasn't sure what to do. And the next week he returns, and he's like, I did something, but I'm not sure it counts. We're like, well, what'd you do? He's like, well, my mom, who's also new to Canada, she lives in a long-term care home, and she's never heard the gospel. So I went and I visited her, and I told her about Jesus. And she says she wants Jesus to be her Lord and Savior. And she's wondering if anyone could come and baptize her next week. Does that count? I guess, you know. Our friends from our church plant, Jeff and Yumi, they went to Japan one year to visit their family. And it's one of the most unreached places on the earth still. And while there, Yumi felt prompted to share the gospel with her grandparents. And she found something very incredible. Someone had already talked to her grandparents about Jesus in a place with almost no believers. And her grandparents came to faith that day. And Jeff and Yumi were able to baptize them. And then a couple years later, they went back, and the love of Christ was still evident in their family. And then they left, and that would have been the last time she saw them before they passed away. But God has perfect timing. There's no coincidences in the kingdom when you have a God in control who's sovereign over everything. There's always next steps to respond to the gospel. I think we have to be careful. We have to drop the word should out of our vocabulary. There's no shoulds in Jesus. There's get-tos. We get to take this next step. We get to embrace this. We get to get baptized. It's an invitation. Baptism is obviously a great invitation. I always like to say God loves a tankful church. You heard that right. It was tankful. That's my best joke I got for today. So, but there's so many other great next steps. Inviting people to pray, to read the Bible, to receive God's grace, to trust God by some act of obedience, maybe even just to spend time contemplating and researching truth. Anything that points someone's life to Jesus is a great next step. And so the last part of our passage might be the strangest one, but as we look at this story, there's something important in it that we can miss because we kind of sometimes get blown away by the miraculous sort of things that we don't understand. Philip baptizes the man, and then the next line it says, then the Lord took Philip away. What does that mean? It's similar to the Gospel of Luke where Jesus breaks bread after he's resurrected with the disciples and he's in the room with them, and then he disappears before their sight. And we're sitting there saying, what happened? We don't know. We don't know what happened. It's amazing. That's what happened. Something amazing happened. But here's what is important, and we don't want to miss this. Look at the response of the Ethiopian official. He went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. Significant moments need to be celebrated. Church, we are the party people. Are we known as the party people? Are you known as the party people of Leduc? If people want to have a great party, call up Leduc Alliance Church. Here it comes. Because we want to celebrate the stuff that God is a part of and God is doing. We have an awesome God. Because of him, we don't have to sweat the small stuff, but we celebrate the significant things. Let me just pray this blessing upon you. And then I think the worship team will come back up. So may you be blessed, Leduc Alliance Church, to become known as the party people. May your celebration and joy of God fill your church family. May the presence of God and his face shine upon you. May the things you celebrate become the experiences you duplicate. May you let go of the small things, the worries, the uncertainties of life, and trust God for the big things and celebrate those moments of faith, even the mustard seed moments. I pray that you would bring the kingdom of heaven to the party and that you'd keep seats open for more to join. That you would talk about Jesus. You'd celebrate all he does and all he is doing in and around you. And I pray that you'd be filled with incredible stories of God, the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine and whose power is at work within us. And we pray that this would be done for the name and the glory of Jesus. Amen.